You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Huskers lose to the Indiana Hoosiers 56-7. And if you're like me and you like to eat your feelings, go to cpbeef.com and use the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN, and order steaks, ribs, ground beef, all the beef. You can get it shipped direct to your front door from cpbeef.com, and you can get 25% off using the promo code COMMONFAN. You know what else? The Common Fans are doing the first ever Common Fan tailgate, and yes. Certified Piedmontese will be sponsoring that tailgate and providing us with some burgers and some beef brats for that tailgate. So don't miss out on the opportunity to come hang out with us. We'll be in lot 10, and it's probably going to be a little bit of a game day situation where we have to let you know where we are. We're going to try to be in the northwest corner of lot 10. But anyway, let's put a bow. CPBeef.com, Common Fan promo code for 25% off. You can also go to your local Mercado Butcher Shop in Lincoln or Omaha to get all the best cuts from the butcher shop or some delicious hot food ready to eat as well. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan podcast. Also, make sure to check out our new website, www.commonfan.co. TS Web Services built the site for us. Whether you need web development or hosting, they've got you covered. You can trust TS Web Services to take your online presence to the next level. TS Web Services can help improve, redesign, or host your web services. Check out tswebservices.com to learn more. Guys, I got to be honest. I was concerned about Indiana. They came out. They came into the game 6-0. It's their best start since forever. Obviously, they've been really good on offense, really good on defense. You know, I think a lot of Husker fans felt like they hadn't really played anybody, and so, you know, there was a hope and a belief that we might match up well with them. I wasn't feeling like, I know I picked it as a win when we talked to Mitch and we did our predictions. I wasn't feeling like that was necessarily a guarantee. Let me tell you what I didn't have on my bingo card. I didn't have Nebraska coming in completely flat, completely unprepared, completely getting pushed around on both sides of the ball.
And going into a freaking shell
the minute things went south.
Yeah.
Completely. I mean, look, here's the deal. Either they quit, which is not excusable, or they're that bad, right? Or they're that much worse than Indiana.
Which is also inexcusable.
Yeah.
This is the worst loss in I don't know how long, guys, because you think about Michigan last year. Okay, Michigan was a national champion, and they were stealing everybody's signs.
Yeah, this was worse than that. This might be worse than any loss in the Frost era.
It might be worse than any loss in the Frost era because there was never a belief that we were making any progress.
Michigan in year one or two, the game where Frost said we hit just as hard or whatever, and they still smoked us. Like, that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It was year one or year two of Frost when we got smoked by Michigan. But that's the only one that comes to mind. It goes back to Riley era. Like, there's a Penn State and Iowa beating in there. Like, this... Yeah, this is back there.
I think a couple things come to mind for me when, and again, this is frustrating for so many reasons. Riley, in 2016, Riley's second year team started off 7-0, and I think we all kind of knew that was
a little fraudulent.
Yeah. We really, really didn't play anyone. No. But then the losses in the back half of that season, we got completely blown out by Ohio State. We got manhandled by Iowa. We lost badly in the bowl game to Tennessee.
Yeah.
all of those felt pretty bad. Like it was sort of like, oh, whoa, like, okay, hold on. I didn't think we were this bad. Like I thought we started 7-0. We thought we were at least, you know, okay here. I think the reason this one hits so hard is because of the genuine belief that we felt like things were going in the right direction for Matt Rhule's program. And also this, we thought this defense could keep us in just about any game that we played. You know, like it felt like if things got away from us against Ohio State, that's one thing. I absolutely did not expect Indiana to hang 56 points on us and us to completely, completely put our tail between our legs and just give up.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, they've got to figure out something. Well, I mean, across all phases of the game after today, they've got to figure out something in all three phases. But it looks to me, and again, we're not X's and O's experts, but it looks to me like Nebraska on defense needs to figure out a way to stop teams that are really good at the quick passing game. When the quarterback's taking 3 to 5 to 7 step drops, I'm comfortable with our guys getting home. Okay, there wasn't a whole lot of that today. I mean, it was a quick fake and throwing it right away, or quick getting the snap and throwing it right away to on some of these pass plays. So, but then the leaks in the run game, like that's I don't know how we explain that. Like it was bad. It was pretty bad.
I said that we can't freaking sleepwalk like we did during that opening sequence of the Purdue game, and I knew from the second after they scored and they kicked off to us and we had that blunder down on the 1 yard line, I knew that this game was already going in a terrible direction. I had lost all confidence in what we were doing. And I felt like we were just doing the exact same thing we did. We just weren't awake. We were just in a fog out there. And
that's a really good point, Geoff. Like it sort of felt like from the early going, you know, they went for it on 4th and 2 on their first drive. Got it. Then they ended up scoring a touchdown. Then we make that stupid special teams play. I mean, Ja'Cory Barney has been great. He's a true freshman, but that, you know, comes down to coaching as much as anything. So our first drive kind of stopped before it even started. And then like, it just sort of felt like early on what they're up 7-0, they're up 14-0. Even when we scored to make it 14-7, it sort of felt like we're going to have to like score just about every time we get the ball to stay in this thing. And it felt like one of those games from the Frost era where everybody kind of knew or from early on, we're not going to win this.
And I think the frustrating part is, and not really frustrating, we can be fully on board and appreciate everything that Matt Rhule has done for Nebraska football up to this point, and yet still nitpick, complain, and be disappointed in this performance. Like it was so bad. Like nobody should be exempt from complaints when their team performs that way at all.
Right.
Especially after a bye week. You've got 12, 13 days to prepare for your next opponent, and you come out looking like you just played 5 days ago. Like that, you can't have that. You just can't. No, and I don't know if it's
on. No, go ahead, Mario. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm just gonna say I don't know if it's we've got a lot of really talented and experienced players. We gotta remember too, like even some of our guys on the outside, Banks and Nair, like this is their first year with these coaches. Like you're gonna have these things, but you don't expect it to get that bad.
No, let me take this in a different direction, Matteo.
Please.
I feel like we have bent over backwards to be fair and reasonable. And
100%.
We are not like, we don't try to like generate hot takes on this podcast just to get more eyeballs on the pod.
No.
Right. We have been defenders of Coach Rhule and the coaching staff and whatever else. Let me tell you, and again, I'm not calling, like, I see this calls on Twitter to fire Foley, the special teams coordinator, and to fire Satterfield, the $1.4 million man offensive coordinator, and to fire Garrett McGuire, the wide receivers coach. Newsflash, common fans, none of that's happening during the season. No. We can have a conversation in the offseason about what changes might need to be made.
Yeah.
And I think we'll probably not finish this episode without criticizing Satterfield a lot more. Don't get me wrong. But like, nobody's getting fired. Okay. So let's be clear on no one's getting fired right now. And again, that's usually not a sign of a healthy program. Husker fans, more than anyone, can testify to what instability comes with firing a bunch of coaches over and over.
And we
so,
know.
But let me also say then, with that context of how we've been supporters of Rule and the staff and everything else, this was completely unacceptable.
Yes.
This is not okay. Like, Husker fans shell out too much money. They support this team too much. They build their Saturdays around these games to watch these games. And I'm here's what I found myself thinking. We talk about, well, you know, they're learning how to win when they barely get by Rutgers 14. This is what learning how to win looks like.
Yeah.
They're learning how to win when they're down 3-0 to Purdue in the middle of the third quarter. You know what? It took Indiana one off season to learn
to figure that out.
That's the
It took Indiana one
part.
Off season.
Yeah. Right. Like, we've bagged on Dion for thinking he can do it and turn around. Kurt Cignetti is doing it right now.
Kurt Cignetti's absolutely doing it.
He's doing it. They're 7-0. They're 7-0. Yeah, he brought a bunch of James Madison players, but guess what? They won a load of games. They won a shit load of games at James Madison.
I mean, those James Madison players just completely tossed us around at both
that
lines.
That receiver, Surratt, like, he's one of the best receivers we've faced all year. Oh.
Some of those back shoulder, I will say to their credit, like, let's give Indiana a little bit
they're
of credit.
Good.
Some of those back shoulder throws, there's nothing a good, like,
no,
they were well covered and those guys were just making plays.
Still making those grabs.
Yeah. So let's give them some credit where it's due. But again, 56-7 is completely inexcusable. Yeah. And I think what's frustrating for Husker fans is it just leaves you with this feeling of like, where are we? Here we go again. Yeah. You know, like, here, like, we thought we were at least making progress. Again, I don't think any of us felt 100% certain we were going to win this game. We all knew it was a possibility we would lose this game.
It's just the way that we lost it. Yeah, it's just the way that we lost it.
You know what? I can, like, we can handle losing, guys. Like, we've been losing, but not like that. Like, my God, like, I'd stomach a 14-17 point loss. Like, yeah, that's fine. Like, as long as we made it interesting at some point in the game, that was never interesting. It was like, as soon as the first quarter was over, it's like, oh, this is not good. Yeah. You know,
and
you can
we
trace it back.
Trouble.
Like, we are too fragile of a team. I think there's still a lot of mental fragility in this team. And was it not just 7-0? When Dowdell fumbled, we were moving the ball down the field. Wasn't it 7-0?
Boy,
and we
really
fumbled.
I can't. It was either. Let me look at the. It was either 7-0 or 14-0. It was early though. We were still in it. We were very much.
I was gonna,
still in it.
And in the red zone.
After
we
this
scored,
game,
we are so fragile. It's kind of one of those things. Like, well, you know, we always play this game of like, well, if this didn't happen or that did happen and blah blah blah. But as fragile as we are as a team, if we get that first down and go down and score, make it 7-7, you just wonder if the game could have been a little bit different. I said it sometime over the last couple of weeks. I think this team is going to be the type of team that has to punch first and strike first, because they are so mentally fragile. We talked about it. Brandon Vogel had some brilliant stuff on this about the psychology of this team. So many of our older players have lost so many games. And there's no, it's the human element. You can't tell me a couple of bad things happen and it starts to snowball a little bit that you just don't go, oh crap, we've been here before. And up to this point, like, it really hasn't gotten too bad, right? When those things start to happen today, it just snowballed and became a freaking avalanche, man.
Yeah. You know, it felt like, I'm not sure it would have mattered the way everything played out
probably
today.
Not,
but to your
things.
Point, like, we went for it on fourth down early, didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
The Dowdell fumble at the worst possible time, handful of penalties at the worst possible times. Yeah, I'm not sure it ends up mattering today, but like, the turnover bug hasn't really reared its head
until
now.
Like, we had that fixed, right?
We worked on that turnover margin today big time. Good Lord.
Yeah, we brought that thing came back down to earth.
Wow.
Let me tell you what else. And the defense completely laid an egg today, and they don't get a pass for that. Don't get me wrong. They got receivers were wide open all day long. They got completely gashed in the run game. I mean, those guys were going for 10, 15, 20 yards. The tackling was piss poor. Like, the defense was bad. But you feel like at least Tony White and the Blackshirts have earned the benefit of the doubt a little bit, right? Am I like, right? Like,
I thought you were going to say, hey, at least we'll probably have Tony White for one more year.
Well, we probably will.
Now we will.
He's moving down the list of potential head coaches for other
programs. Hey, we need some cohesion, right?
Yeah, that's right.
We don't
that's
really want to take it this way, but we'll
there's at least like documentable evidence to say they will bounce back.
I hope, maybe
against Ohio State, maybe not, but
I doubt it.
I think
but I think for most of the other games on the schedule, there's reason to believe the defense will be better. Geoff, go ahead, sorry.
No, I hope that you're
right. I'm going to a second point about this anyway. Go ahead, Geoff.
The only point I was going to make is we've had this conversation after multiple games already this season where I feel like we've talked about how the defense hasn't done a good enough job more than they've done a good job, in my opinion. We've got the Colorado game, did awesome. But we were bitching about Northern Iowa the week after that about how they didn't step their game up that way. We were bitching about during the Purdue game. And I feel like there's a lot of, I don't know. I think we give him a lot more benefit of the doubt than I think we even realize, to be honest with you. He does a good job, but this does tend to seem to be a trend for us right now, is that they do a good job.
I get what you're saying. I think we were pretty nitpicky with the Northern Iowa and Purdue, though. You look back and like we gave 3 points in Northern Iowa.
Sure.
I mean, Purdue didn't score until very late. Like, so I think we'd expect greatness, to be honest with you. We should not. Like, we should expect good. We should expect above average because that's where we're at.
It also raises the question of like Purdue's offense is bad. Rutgers' offense is bad.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of raises the question, Illinois and Indiana are the two best teams we've played, and those are the two worst defensive performances we've seen so far. So it kind of raises the question. Maybe the 3-3-5 and the Tony White magic is only extends so far. It only extends to really bad Big Ten West.
And, you know, I was thinking, like, bad on me. Like, okay, Indiana's more like kind of like to spread it out and do it a little bit more like Colorado, and we did really well against Colorado, but Colorado did not even try to run the ball. Like Indiana's like, we're going to do whatever the hell it takes to get the ball down the field and beat you and take chunks out of your defense.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to think, guys. I do think there, in terms of looking forward, there are teams that we match up with pretty well. So I'm not going down that road of like, dear God, are we going to win another game? Like,
I think that's
up better with some of these teams. We'll match up well with Wisconsin and Iowa, to be honest with you. So I don't know.
The only thing I was concerned, if we're talking about defense right now, is just, for instance, like when their quarterback hurt his hand, like they still gashed us on the run after that. Because I figured that. Us as fans would think, I was screaming at the TV. I'm like, okay, he can't throw it anymore. We're just going to have to load it up in the middle and stop the run now. And they still were gashing us.
Running they were wise. Fine.
After that, we couldn't do anything. I don't know. I'm kind of nervous about it now. This, especially if you say we give them the benefit of the doubt and then put that score up on the screen. Like, oh, we'll give them we give them the benefit of the doubt if we lost by like two touchdowns. But that's pretty bad.
No, we lost
that's
seven.
Fair. That's fair. That's fair. Like, I inexcusable performance. Don't get me wrong. Where I was going with that was the offense and the $1.4 million man, Marcus Satterfield.
Yep.
And how he has not earned the benefit of the doubt.
No.
And he hasn't been good since he's been here. And look, even the optimism at the beginning of this year was based on what we did against the first three games, which were not against Big Ten defenses.
Yeah.
Since we've gone into Big Ten play, we've only, like, I guess you could say they were pretty good against Illinois. They figured it out in the second half against Purdue, but they scored 0 points. Like, it's sort of gotten worse and worse in Big Ten play.
Yeah.
And like, let me throw this out there again, a hot take alert. I don't want to hear it again about how you're committed to the run game.
No.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
So I was going to say the exact
Get
same thing.
Out of here.
I was
like, you're a fraud.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. I love Dylan Raiola. I still believe he might win 17 Heismans before it's all said and done. Him dropping back 8 plays in a row is not going to get you where you want to go.
No. And so he says he committed to the run, but we abandon it immediately. We start passing it. Then the game gets out of hand and you have no choice but to pass it. After
well, look,
that.
Look at the very, look at the very, run.
You're just freaking screwed.
Yeah. Look right. at the very first series when Barney made that boneheaded play and caught it and stepped out at the one, the first, what, six plays, five were passes. The one run we had went for four or five three or four and got us some space. And then it was just like, okay, now we're just going to try to dink and dunk this out of our own territory. I hate that.
Gus Johnson said
be
it.
A man, like, be a damn man and go hat on hat and run the damn ball, kill some clock, give your defense a rest. Satterfield is not, we've talked many times about complimentary football. That is not complimentary football. We are saying we want to be tough and run the ball and play complimentary football. They are not. They are not doing that. And I personally blame Satterfield for it because the play calling does not go with that. Does not coincide with them saying that. So figure it out. We have no identity. We have no identity.
Well, that's exactly right. Geoff, what were you saying?
No, I just said Gus Johnson said to your point there, Owens, like you should probably run the ball in that situation. And he said it too. He goes, oh, they're in their own end zone. They better have big confidence in their quarterback if they're going to let him start throwing it out of their own end zone as a true freshman. And sure enough, we started throwing it out of our own end zone right away.
Yeah.
Like, we got lucky too. That fourth down grab or third down grab to get the first down.
That was a phenomenal catch by Fedoni. Yeah.
Fedoni had a great game by all accounts. Fedoni was fine. He might be the only guy that would maybe deserve a corn cob today.
Yeah. And then we punted it, Jeff, three plays later, though, mind you.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and like even late in the game when the game was over, I can't remember, it was like 42-7 or 49-7, but we still were moving the ball down the field and it was first and goal at the five. And we went incomplete pass, handoff for a loss of a yard, sack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that sums up watching Marcus Satterfield's offense.
Yeah.
The guy completely has not earned the benefit of the doubt. Offense was atrocious last year and they're below average this year. Like I know they went and got so, and I know like, I don't know, like, I don't know. And I don't care. I don't like, I see this stuff on Twitter and I see people say, oh, they're not committed to the run game, so they can't run. And then I see people say other defenses, all they have to do is stack the box because Banks and Nair and Barney and Jalen Lloyd can't get open. I sort of refuse to believe that.
Yeah.
Like, are you like Jalen Lloyd and Ja'Cory Barney in particular, two of like the fastest guys on the planet. Banks and Nair have been really good. Like, I sort of refuse to believe that no one can get open.
Do you know what? You see the
offensive or you see the pass interference calls. Like, clearly defenders are having to grab our guys because they get beat. But so I don't know. So I guess what I'm saying is, where does that leave us? Why is the offense so inept?
Good coaching and good schemes gets players open. I know these guys are fast and athletic. It's not always just like, okay, you got to burn this one guy. Like, you have to have good play calling. You have to run one play to potentially, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but it's setting up another play. It's all a big chess match. Okay. Yeah. And when the defense and the defensive coordinator have a really good idea of what you do, hey, these guys are going to abandon the run. And then it's like, okay, let's go. Pin our ears back. Let's go get Raiola. That's easy to defend.
I know, exactly, right? When they know they're not going to run it anymore, they just come at you as hard as they can.
Right. Yeah. It's like, okay, once we're up 14-0, Satterfield's just going to try to air it out now. Like, that's so easy to defend.
Let me tell you guys what else. Harburg came in pretty early on about a second and 10, and he ran like an option play, and they got 9 yards, and it was third and one. And I'm trying to remember exactly what happened there. I don't think we got it on third and one. And I'm trying to remember if it was one of those where we didn't get it on. I don't remember what the next sequence was. But Dylan's the guy. Dylan is the future. Mm-hmm. Why don't we have Harburg take over like a few series? Like what, like
go 2-for-1 or something like that.
Dylan like let him run. If you're gonna bring him in, let him run a whole series because if teams are preparing for one thing, which is Dylan Raiola and a pro style offense, and then you bring in a really athletic running quarterback and sort of a more option scheme, then again, I'm like, why don't we like do more of that? Like, just especially in a game like today where it's slipping away, especially when it's 21-7. How about this? How about when it's 21-7 Here was a big miss. 21-7. We get the ball with under 4 minutes to go in the first half. We know we're going to get it on the kickoff coming out of halftime. Mm-hmm. So I texted the guys. I texted our group of buddies, the Fantasy Football League, the Pie High crew. And I said, at the very least, don't give them the ball back. Yeah. And what did we do? We went three and out. Back.
Yep.
We went three and out. How about on that one, you bring Harburg in? A more run-based, like, get some first down. Again, ideally, you get points, God forbid. But at the very least, hang on to the ball, go into halftime down 21-7, knowing you're getting the ball back to start the second half. I feel like mentally that's a big difference between going three and out, giving them the ball back, giving up another touchdown, and going into halftime 28-7.
100%. Yeah. Like you're sounding too reasonable. You sound like you'd be a good football coach, TJ, because all it is on calling offensive plays is knowing who you need to get the ball to and how are you going to do it. You have your guys that you know can get you yards, and you just got to figure out how to get them the ball in space. Like, that's all it is. That's all it is.
We're playing PlayStation football now, though, too, you guys. Like, I think the game would be a little bit different if we can just kick a field goal and get some sort of points out of some drives every once in a while. We have to go for it every time now. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, you can go back and look at what if. Like, we could have made it 7-3. On the first series.
Or 21-10 or 21-13 or something like that. Like, just anything to make it a little bit more reasonable. And they're playing like I do at home, where I'm just like, screw it, I'm not going to kick it. Somebody's down there somewhere.
It's like, especially on the new game, the kicking is so – I've played like 10 games maybe total. The kicking is so damn hard. You would just say, forget it. It's 4th and 21. I'm going to throw a bomb.
Right. But that is a really good point. Like, we we could have kicked to make it 7-3.
Did we even try a field goal today? We didn't.
No, we didn't try a field goal. Like, again, in this game, I'm not sure it matters, but I think it matters to the team and whether or not they're going to quit and give up to like, if you're going in halftime, instead of 21, like you said, Jeff, instead of 21-7, maybe it's, or 28-7, maybe it's 21-10 or 21-13 or whatever. And like, you're hanging around.
Or 28-13, like you're still down two scores and a two-pointer.
Right. Again, like maybe it doesn't end up mattering today because we clearly could not get any stops on defense. But there's just so much this team doesn't do well. And some of it should not be this bad in year two. And I don't care who the head coach is.
Right. Yeah. And you know what? Motivationally, organizationally, everything Matt Rhule says, I'm still eating it up. I'm still drinking the Rhule-Aid.
Yeah.
But the scheming and the play calling and what happens on the field has to catch up to that. That's where I'm at. Like, everything I'm being sold, I'm buying. But what happens on the field, I've got to see them being a little bit smarter with how they're using their playmakers on offense, and I see them like adjust on defense. Like, we went into this thing, like, I'm thinking like Tony White's really good at in-game adjustments. Like, we'll be all right.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just didn't seem like they ever happened, or whatever they said that they were going to try to do and adjust on. Instead, it just like looked the same the whole game.
I'm glad you said that, Matt, about Matt Rhule and what he says. Maybe it's because we're fresh off a loss, so I'm just still frustrated. But the quote things, like, I'm kind of starting to get annoyed of the, with every loss like this, if I see a thing that says, if we die, we die, it's really starting to kind of get under my skin now. Those things start to piss me off after a while. And did you guys see what he said right after the game? He just said, I didn't see this coming at all.
He did apologize too. I appreciate the apology.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's nothing you can say after a loss like that to make the fans feel better about it. There's
exactly. Really, how would you feel, Jeff, if he said, you know what, I was worried this would happen.
I saw this coming.
I knew this was going to happen.
I saw this coming all week. Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those things where we constantly praise him for his quotes, and he's got all these awesome inspirational quotes. And then shit like this happens, and it drives me freaking nuts. I'm still on the train, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. It's
frustrating.
It's so frustrating. And since we're airing grievances here, let me say one more thing. And I'm sure you could find examples to disprove what I'm about to say. But like, how many
Fact
times
check.
going back, at least going back to Riley, maybe even going back to Pelini, how many times have we been in this place where it's like, okay, we're better now. Okay, we're turning a corner now. Okay, we're in a big game on national TV. It's prove it time. And not only do we not prove it,
We go
we
so
get
far the
embarrassed
opposite.
in the
Yes.
world. Yeah, we go
We're
so
the complete
far
opposite
in the
direction.
opposite direction.
We shoot ourselves in the foot and then throw up all over ourselves and shit
Yeah.
ourselves. Like it's just like the worst possible things that could happen. Just when we're feeling okay. Here we
Yeah.
go.
We don't just trip over our appendage. We stomp all over it. Stomp.
And yeah.
With cleats, really hurt.
With cleats. So it's just so frustrating. And like it has spanned coaching staffs, it has spanned roster turnover. It has happened again and again and again. And again, like I think also, this might sound weird. I think the frustrating thing is this feeling of like, where do we go from here? Because no one is saying to fire Coach Rhule.
No.
I'm not even,
No.
you could even convince me that he doesn't need to fire a bunch of these assistants, like people want him to. Whatever he decides in the offseason, that's up to him to figure it out, right? And that's right. I think that's right. As we said before, like firing coaches has not been the sign of a healthy program, and it doesn't
Never.
always get you to something better. We know that better than anyone, Husker fans. But then you're left with, okay, where do we go from here?
Yeah.
Like
So let me
what do
ask you
we
this
where,
question,
like
TJ.
what's left for this team?
So I know the answer you're gonna get, but I just want to throw this out there. Your running quote has been, "It's time to believe in Nebraska football again." Do you still believe in it? Do you still believe?
Ooh, that's wow, Geoff, great one. I wish you had cheated and told me you were going to ask me
Oh, sorry.
that. I'm going to go
Just,
yes. I'm going to go yes, because otherwise that would mean giving up on Rhule entirely, and I'm not
yeah.
ready to do that. And I still think we get to a bowl game. I think it's like we're recording this shortly after the Indiana game. So there's still stuff left to play out on the college football landscape. But so far today, UCLA has beat Rutgers 35-32. I don't know if you guys saw that. So
Rut row.
suddenly this UCLA team we thought was dormant is showing signs of life. And we couldn't muster more than 14 points against Rutgers. So I do you find yourself, where do I find at least one more win to get to bowl eligibility? What about two or three more wins to get to 7 or 5? Four, that you know, that I think Jeff, part of what we're going to need to see here is how this team bounces back, and this is going to be a multi process because I don't expect it to against Ohio State, if I'm being perfectly honest.
No.
But
Did we lose him? Is
we're
TJ
five and three
gone?
with plenty left to play, and we got
Oh,
UCLA
oh.
left. We got a and it's three on the year. What's that? You guys hear me?
You
Did you
kind of
lose me for a
froze
minute?
there. You kind of froze there for
Oh,
a
sorry.
minute.
Yeah, but you're back now.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Must be shaky Wi-Fi.
What I'm gathering from you here is that you still do believe and that you love the Huskers and that we're going to still
I
win
think
the
it's
bowl
so.
game.
Yeah, it's so
Maybe
tight.
next.
We gotta
We're going to beat
believe.
Ohio
Well,
State. We're going to make the playoff. That's what
we.
you're
I
telling
mean,
me.
I
I
don't
heard
want
that.
to.
I heard you say
I don't want to be. I don't want to be that guy that is like going into a Husker football Saturday, like, well, I wonder how bad we'll get beat today. Like,
Right.
I've
Yeah.
never
Nobody
been
likes
that
that guy.
guy.
It's
I will
like
never be that guy. Next
and I
week,
can't.
you know what?
Go ahead.
Next week, I will muster up enough self-confidence and self-esteem to still put on my Husker red, even though knowing we're
Yeah.
going into Columbus. And Jeff, I'm sorry, your upset prediction is not going to freaking happen. It's gonna be bad. It's gonna
Yeah,
be bloody. And I'm
don't
still gonna be like that thing where like the clown's putting on his clown makeup. That's gonna be me putting on my Husker gear next weekend.
good
I'm gonna do it
because
every single week,
well
and it
I don't
doesn't
want
freaking matter. So I
yeah
said, I think it was last week, let's enjoy the ride. We've
yeah
got 5 games left, and
right
we're gonna see how good our coaches are.
yeah
We're
and
gonna
the
see
other
what kind of talent we
yeah
have.
on
That
that
part's still exciting to me.
On that note, Matteo, like I can't stand when I see, and it's like this, I love you all out there. Like, we get texts from people and we see it on Twitter when people are like, we'll be lucky to get to six wins. Like, why are you, then don't even watch, right? Like, right. Other than Ohio State, which I don't feel good about, we can win any game for the rest of the season. I'm not saying we will, but I think, like, let's see what this team bounces back with. Let's see how they respond to this. Clearly we've made this point before. Clearly the, you know, we get up to 3-0 start after, and after the big Colorado win, people were saying, you know, oh, they're going to be 7-0 going into Ohio State. Clearly we're not as good as we thought we were. That doesn't mean we can't beat Iowa. That doesn't mean we can't beat Wisconsin. No, neither. Right. Like, both those teams have multiple losses. Both of those teams are not ranked right now. Right. You know, like, we're not talking about playing Ohio State.
Don't be Randy Quaid from Major League Two. Nobody likes that guy. All right. Exactly. Don't be that guy. We'll blow it in the playoffs.
Yeah. We're not turning into the parking lot.
But Jeff, I resent you making me say that I still believe in Nebraska football when all I wanted to do was bitch about everything during this episode. So I really
have something positive to say, right?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I just thought of something. I thought of something right now. I didn't realize this until we started the game. You're telling me that there's another fake Memorial Stadium out there?
I know. I was like, what?
It's a very common name. I think Oklahoma has Memorial Stadium too, don't they?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Lots of memorials.
Get your own ideas.
Get your own ideas, people. Another fake Memorial Stadium.
And you know, the other thing, in this new crazy college football world, you don't know what team's going to show up week to week. It doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah.
Even the Bamas and the Georgias, and I mean, Texas is and Oregon have been pretty damn good all year. But other than that, like, who the hell knows?
Yeah.
Who the hell knows if we don't go 4-1 the rest of the way, or even 3-2? Like,
yeah. Well, like, think about this, guys. Think about it. We contemplated this on a previous episode. Let's say we lose to Ohio State and beat UCLA. Neither of those things are guaranteed, but neither of them are unreasonable either. Let's say we're 6-3 going into our final three games against USC, Wisconsin, and Iowa.
Give it to me.
Well, you're playing meaningful games in November, right? Like, you can win any of those games, might just lose any of them, right? But we can beat Iowa. Every year, the Iowa game, throw out the records. Like, the Iowa game's a coin flip every year.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's really hard to make, you know, it's hard to know what to make of Wisconsin. They look much better lately. But I wouldn't, like, chalk that up as a loss to Minnesota. And again, we're recording this shortly after the Indiana game, so who knows how this will play out. But it's currently they're up 14.
Sounds like the Micro Machines guy.
Seven on Maryland.
I know, it's incredible.
Quarter. So who knows?
your audio like cuts, and then it like catches up. So you're like, it sounds like you're talking really fast, like the old Micro Machines guy. TJ's in Los Angeles.
I'm in a hotel. Oh yeah, you're
in a hotel room in Los Angeles.
Don't say
using the room's Wi-Fi. He's cutting out, and then the audio's catching up. He's sounding like a Micro Machines guy.
Where are you staying at? Like a hostel or something like that? Are you in danger right now? Where are you? Are you staying at Skid Row?
Now he's frozen again.
Oh, no.
I'm in a lovely hotel, Jeff. Thank you.
Okay, good.
This is like when Bob Uecker, what does he pass out or goes down, and then Monty has to chime in. Yeah. Fly ball. Caught.
Caught.
Guys, here.
You keep cutting in and out, Teach, but I can't hear you. Say something else.
It's in and out.
Let's just wrap this thing up.
Let's get out of here. Nobody's listening anyway. The hell with it.
All right. Let's jump to corn. Does anybody deserve a corn cob?
No.
My family deserves one for putting up with me screaming. Like, I shouldn't be that pissed off at 11 a.m. in the morning screaming at a television, but here we are. So kudos to them for putting up with me for most of the day.
Oh,
my family gets the corn cob. There they go.
I'll give one to Fedoni. We'll go Fedoni. He had some good catches. He looked like the only guy that wanted to freaking play football today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably best game of the year for Fedoni. I don't think anybody else deserves it. So yeah, I'll give it to Husker fans. For
there you go.
For sticking in there and having to weather that complete and total absolute garbage. I mean, just really, really Really, really terrible all the way around, boys.
Yeah. Well, how fitting that the Huskers blew one big time today. TJ's internet connection sucks, man. What a day, huh? What a great day.
I mean, that means a lot coming from you, Phil Hellmuth, with the shades on.
I'm in mourning, all right? I'm suffering here. I cried a lot today. I don't want
yeah,
you to
I bet you. Bet you are. I bet you're crying real crocodile tears with your Notre Dame quarter zip on.
Yeah,
I hope, exactly. I hope Georgia Tech takes him to the woodshed in the second half.
I had Husker gear on. I had to take it off. What do you want me to keep it on after that?
For the Husker football Lord. Podcast, yeah, maybe you keep the Husker gear on, win or lose.
There's a game
stick together
on
in
right
all kinds of weather.
Me, okay?
All right, Common fans. Well.
Oh no!
The Indiana 66 and am I cutting out again?
Yeah,
yeah.
Can you hear me?
Right now we can.
Matty, us off.
Common fans, we'll be back later this week.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there he is. You know what? We'll be back later this week. We're gonna do one with Evan Bland, I believe. And that'll be out midweek.
View from the Bland stands, baby.
View from the Bland stands. We'll be previewing Ohio State and talking about maybe how it won't be a bloodbath and what it looks like for Husker football moving forward in all of our emotions and our psyche. Mm-hmm. Until then, as always, GBR for life.
GBR for life. I wanted to say it too.